Jimmy Doan is better than a cold shower.
Closing main breaker.
I'd like to think so.
So wake
Jimmy
up.
Okay, yeah, right. Wake up time. Great show. And it's only been a couple days since the last one.
Yeah, freak out.
The 7th of May.
This is great. So it's Siete de Mayo. Have you noticed that May is drink month? I mean, everything happens. You can drink on the Star Wars day, the 4th of
May. The 4th
May the 4th be with you. Cinco de Mayo. Tomorrow is not Mother's Day. Well, they have Mother's Day because you get a drink on that day for sure.
You have to.
It's National Eat the Worm Day.
Yeah, we already had that. And then tomorrow is like, is it Secretary's Day or it's some kind of, is it Secretary's Day?
Yeah, I heard that was sometime around now. I'm not sure that's it.
That's right. So, I mean, they're drinking tomorrow. I mean, there's like no working in May.
Well, they're drinking at the Kennedy household.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Wasting a view there. We're going to talk about that in just a second. So I want to say hello to Jack Rhodes.
Hey, I'm here. It's good to be here.
That's it. Good deal. Curtis.
Hey.
Attorney and engineer Eric.
Two.
That's it. And Jimmy.
Where's Jimmy?
Jimmy Smith.
We did want to say hello to Bernie. Bernie's in London. Now I say Bernie. Is he? Oh, yeah. You
jolly good show, mate, with the letter.
That's right. Great.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You know, right ever.
We got some fans across the pond.
Oh, no. We got them all over. Man, we've been getting them everywhere. And also did want to say again to Houston, I think we're going to see if we can get to the teen scream or whatever it is. Teen screening. Yeah, we're going to see if we can do that. But we did want to thank the couple of people that wrote in, and it was great. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a little bit big news. Kennedy, of course, local USA type news. It's never safe to get in a moving vehicle with a Kennedy.
it's Patrick Kennedy this time.
This time it's Patrick, but I mean, we can do that. Also,
whether it's a plane.
Cars new. I'm telling you, Segway, I don't think so. You know, that's it.
No. Segway.
Yeah, wouldn't want to do that.
Razor.
That's it. Razor. That's it. No, I'm telling you, bicycle built for two is death sentence. Death sentence with a Kennedy. So anyway, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And if we get to the, hopefully we can get to the teen scream thing or whatever it is. And then there's a plan to make millionaires of people in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie got a CIA book deal, $2.5 million. I'll talk a little bit about that.
Oh, Valerie Plame.
Valerie Plame, yep. But the two main things, I guess, so far that I can think of is, unless you guys come up with something, and we'll move on. Kennedy and I love this headline in the New York Times. It has to do with the economy here. And the headline is, statistics aside, many feel the pinch of daily costs. So we're gonna examine that headline here.
We're gonna tear that one up.
New York Times, thank you so much. Yeah, right. As if they actually know, have any idea that the writer, whatever her name is, what's her name, Jennifer, has any clue what she's talking about. She doesn't. Okay. So anyway, Kennedy, big deal. This is what, a couple days ago? When did he do it? It was like
the fourth of May.
At least he didn't go over a bridge, but he merely hit one of the barriers that keeps terrorists out of the...
No passengers?
No passengers this time, which I thought was, which was nice.
Well, he had no lights on either.
Yeah, so. No lights.
No passengers, no lights.
And of course, no double standard, because they simply, you crashed your car and you're staggering like a drunk. Let's just drive you home in a police car. Like that would happen to anybody on this planet.
All right, so just...
Could happen.
In case someone out there hasn't heard, let's walk through exactly what happened.
Oh, okay, what happened was... At
2:45 in the morning.
It was at 2:45.
May 4th,
he crashes into a barrier after passing some police car, whatever. In other words, they saw him weaving around down the road.
Right, with no lights on.
No lights on, 3 o'clock in the morning. And
he hits a few things before he comes to a stop.
Right, comes to a stop. They don't give him a field sobriety test, but
he gets out of the car.
Gets out of the car, staggering. And after a wreck, of course, that's... Okay.
Yeah.
Claims to be on pills, right?
Now, this was that night he claimed...
I don't know about that.
Man, I'm on pills, man.
I thought that night he said...
Oh, he said, I'm on the way to a vote. I'm on the way to vote.
Double top secret probationary.
Double
top, 4 a.m. vote.
The 4 a.m. vote because the House, of course, had sealed the door shut at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
It was the vote at the Hawk and Dove bar down the street.
Yeah, that's right. I love it. Hawk and Dove.
That's right.
Well, then they issued a statement the next morning. No alcohol involved. Gosh, it was just a mistake. I took too many pills. I took a sleep pill and a wake-up pill
at
the same time.
I don't even remember being there.
That didn't fly because they interviewed, what's-her-name down at the Hawk and Dove, and she said, yeah, I served the hell out of him. He was drinking like a fish, whatever it was.
Drinking like a Kennedy.
Like a Kennedy. Right. Exactly.
Just like he does every week.
Just like dad or whatever. Uncle, is that his dad or
Dad is Ted.
Dad is Ted. Mm-hmm. So the acorn does not fall far from the tree. We can see that. And then, change the story again. That one didn't fly. So what was next on the list? I'm going to the Mayo Clinic. No, the next on the list was...
That's it. I don't remember anything.
That's right.
But I'm going to go to the Mayo
Clinic.
I'm going to go to rehab
in
case.
I'm going back to the clinic.
To
my old room.
They reserved my room.
Bed's still warm.
Didn't even have to change the sheets. You know what I mean? We're going back.
Well, he had just left rehab at... Six months ago.
Within
the last year.
So I guess he was still celebrating Christmas or New Year's or something. I don't know.
That's right.
Just one for the road.
That's right. One for the road. And so the
All right, so scandal is nothing new for this.
No, but I mean, it's fascinating that he gets off scot-free. Can you imagine if it had literally been anybody else?
Well, and that's what the big story has been now.
Yeah, no double standard. They're saying no double standard.
Once you get to a double standard in society where the people don't have, the lawmakers don't have to abide by their own laws, for example, they don't have to walk through the metal detectors.
Yeah, like what's her name, Cynthia?
Yeah, whatever it is, if they get opted out of that area of the law, you can bet that's going to be harshened up real fast.
That's right.
And then we all have to pay, and they don't...
Well, I thought it was interesting, one of the first things that they did, and this brings up, I'm going to do a tangential point that I haven't talked to you about, because we're coming up on the 2006 elections, as you know. In 1994, Newt Gingrich came out with this Contract on America, and one of the first And one of the first things they're going to do, because Congress, of course, when they passed the laws for us, the Congress didn't have to abide by them. I mean, ADA, age discrimination, color, black, ethnicity, all religion, gay, none of that applied to Congress. I mean, you could go in and apply for a job in Congress, and they'd say, but you're black, and you don't get
black.
But you're black, and you don't get it, right out of Lethal Weapon. And so... they passed a law that said Congress has to abide by, not all of them, obviously, but most of them. So they did that. And, of course, now the Democrats they chastised. They called it the Contract on America so forth. This year, of course, they've now announced, I don't know if you know this, but they have announced, I don't know what they're calling it. They're calling it the Agreement with America or something that. So for the 2006-2008 elections, the Democrats are coming out now finally because they've had no plan with an agreement with America or something. Playbook straight out of it worked for the Repubs 12 years ago, so the Democrats are going to try the same thing. I thought it was.
Was it invented by Al Gore?
Yeah, right. That's it. They got on the internet this time. Yeah. So anyway, but I guess that they as you mentioned, Curtis, when the lawmakers don't have to abide by their own rules, Congress has to abide by most of them now. But obviously, in this particular case, no.
Well, the net effect is no. I mean, you can say, technically, if any congressman who gets stopped.
But even locally here, for instance, if let's say you're a judge and you weave all over the place, I mean, the cops come up. I mean, what are they going to do? Anything? No.
No.
Well, of course, they're taking him straight to jail.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I mean, well, they're going to
be in there, Your Honor.
A few points that we left out for our listeners was that, first of all, the responding police officers, once they realized that this was Patrick Kennedy, were replaced and asked to leave by their superiors.
Right.
Two superiors showed up, sent the rookies home.
Right.
Then the two superiors took it home.
Right.
Apparently, so far, it also hasn't come out yet, but apparently they got a call from their superior.
No doubt.
So they're trying to figure out where
the food chain,
start.
How the food chain
exactly.
started.
Exactly. Right. It's Kennedy. Turn them off. Sorry.
Well, you'd think that they would have, and especially in the District of Columbia, you'd think they'd have a little thing on the license tag,
Right.
Drunk One or something. Whatever his tag is, I don't know.
A vanity plate?
You'd think.
That'd be a great vanity plate.
Drunk Junior.
Yeah, that's right. Or Drunk Three, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to figure, either you're in, what's that guy, Strangler's name or whatever his name is? He's the guy that killed somebody. He's in jail for, whatever. Then there was the kid.
Oh, Skakel.
Skakel, right.
Strangler.
Whatever, I don't know, something, I don't know. Skateboard. What was his name? I don't know. And then there was the kid who did not rape the girl. The blue dot girl. I remember years ago down at West Palm.
Sean Patrick Kennedy.
The girl who had the blue fuzz over her face.
Sean Kennedy Patrick or whatever.
I love the way when they finally figured out. It was the blue fuzz ball wasn't working. Of course she's looking around trying to dodge the blue fuzz ball. Wasn't she?
I mean the thing that was blowing her out.
Blurring her face. They put a blue. Did you see that?
Yeah,
it was like
yeah.
a blue piece of cotton or something or fuzz or whatever in front of her face all the time. And it wasn't like they didn't know exactly who she was and pictures everywhere. So anyway, then there's of course Ted. Many transgressions, and then of course what's his name in the airplane? He did.
John.
That's too bad. JFK. I kind of liked John Jr.
Well, I know, but, of course, the thing is that got me about that, being a pilot myself, I can tell you that.
And, of course, the babe.
And the babe, right. yeah, exactly. Took a few with him. I mean, there were three other people that went down in the drink. I'll tell you, you get near water in a Kennedy, it's something you don't want to do. I mean, I was
in the drink.
Yeah, in the drink. Where they're not, that it takes on a whole new meaning. The thing is that.
Well, so what's going to happen with Kennedy? Nothing. He's going to the clinic.
He's going
fine.
To the clinic, and I can tell you from
no charges.
You can bet there won't be any. I mean, I can tell you. I'll tell you what's going to happen is he will. If there are any charges, it'll be the rehab time will count as time served.
Right.
Well, he'll have to fix the barricade that he knocked down and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they got money coming out the gazanjo. Yeah. That's big deal. Well, I can tell you that in those clinics and even the big clinics, the Betty Ford and all those, the recidivism rate is like 90%.
Right.
I mean, it really is.
Right.
And
it's a nice place to be.
Yeah. Well, right. Again,
would you like a lobster tail with that?
No. You think about the guy. What's his name who played Charlie Chaplin in the thing? I mean, in and out of rehab many times?
Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah. And I mean, these guys go in and out all the time.
Is it Morton? Not Morton.
Robert Downey.
That's
close
right.
enough.
Right.
Morton Downey's the other guy.
Morton was the cigarette smoking TV show. Right?
Yeah.
Morton Downey.
More down. Okay, right.
Robert. Yeah. Robert.
I don't hear much about him anymore.
No. I don't know that he's alive. Is he?
Don't you have your celebrity alarm clock or something like that? You can, there's thing you can get on the internet.
So just like Robert.
Every time a celebrity dies, it sends you a note. Have you seen that?
Really?
I've met people who are in the club. They keep track of it.
Dead Celebrities Club?
Yeah.
Dead Celebrity Society or whatever?
Yeah. I guess so. But anyway, so the thing is, it'll be interesting to see how long he goes. I can tell you from firsthand experience that rehab, if you're not in for 2 months, it's worthless. And they do beat up on you, and I can see them beating up on Kennedy.
Well, who's going to do his job when he's at the Mayo Clinic?
Who cares? Actually, I mean,
job.
Wait a minute, didn't he say one time that he never worked a day in his life or something?
That's right. That's
Wasn't
right.
there a quote that he says he doesn't work?
That's right. He said, I've never worked a bleeping day in my life.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy.
But he was joking.
He said,
He was joking. Right. The reason that jokes are, quote, funny is because there's always an element of truth in them, as you know. But he's the House representative from Rhode Island.
Right.
So well, those people up there.
It's a little tiny state. It's a little tiny place.
Oh, so. I guess.
It's a little tiny place, which is looked for.
Otisburg.
Yeah, Otisburg.
Right. All right, so Rhode Island will be fine without him.
I would imagine.
It's a little tiny place.
That's right. A simple fact is that people have always said no man's life, liberty, or property are safe while the legislature is in session. And so if your particular legislature happens to be in the rehab thing, you're probably safe for a while.
Well, and apparently there is some feedback from his home state, but obviously Democratic majority there. So
yeah, well, and not only that, they've got, I think Rhode Island has, they have the rhinos over there. Lincoln Chafee, I think. Is he Lincoln Chafee in here? Isn't he a, quote, Republican, unquote? I think he is, but he's really a socialist. He is. He's the
Rhino, which of course stands for Republican in
Republican in name only. Yeah, him and Olympia Snow, which I think is an interesting name from Maine. People out there in the Northeast,
Olympia
I mean, they
Snow.
Are.
It's It's like
she's also another rhino.
Almost
anyway,
white snow.
That's right. It's almost a James Bond character.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Ian Fleming, right? Truly scrumptious.
I love this though. Right. And we're going to finish up with this last statement. I'm reading this. I was involved in a traffic accident last night at 1st and C Street, southeast near the U.S. Capitol, Kennedy said in a written statement released by his office. I consumed no alcohol prior to the incident.
You mean just before or prior?
Yeah, prior to. he meant in the car when it was...
It was spinning around.
As the steam was rising from the broken radiator, he did not consume any alcohol at that point.
That's right.
And immediately prior to that. Now, it reminds me, of course, of when Clinton says, I smoked marijuana but didn't inhale it.
Clinton, yes.
Clinton.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Anything else on that? No, but we'll follow it.
We're going to wait. There's going to be more. It's going
to
be
exciting.
Okay.
We might have to follow up on that.
Yeah. Here was the Clinton one.
I experimented with marijuana and I'd block it. I inhaled and I tried it again.
That's right. I knew
a direct quote.
A direct quote. That's right. Take that, you people. You can tape that off your MP3 player.
That's right.
And use it in court. Okay, that's good. Now, which reminds me, by the way, speaking of saying hello, I do want to make sure we'll say at the end. Also, people have written in and said they like refer to hanger dogs.
Yes, cool. Okay.
And the Hanger Dogs, of course, is...
Fellow
podcasters. We banter back.
HangerDogs.com, HangerDogs.com.
Well, the other thing that I want to do, before we get into the next subject, which I'm going to talk about the New York Times headline here, statistics, is they sent us those stickers, and I've been looking around. Maybe if they can give me an idea. I'm looking for a place to
put...
The Zaps, right. I'm looking for a place to put it and then have a photograph of it someplace where they won't rip it away immediately.
Right.
But that it will make a statement. And I'm trying, and I haven't...
In front of a surveillance camera on campus or something.
Ooh, good point.
That's
a good point. I didn't think of it. That's a good one. So it scans it every time it does it.
You can put it on a cop's windshield.
Well, not...
As your attorney, I advise you not to do that.
That's it. Well, no, it doesn't have my name on it.
Right.
And number one.
Still, as your attorney.
And you do understand that I do, fortunately, as anybody should, I do keep latex gloves in my car. So anytime there are no...
Deposit a fingerprintless note on...
That's exactly right. And so there's no...
I thought you were going to say you keep your passport and $10,000 laying around.
I wouldn't admit to that. Because the next thing you know, my car's going to be broken into and they will take my passport. And it's only $9,000 anyway. The rest is in traveler's check. God, you think I'd carry $10,000 in cash? An actual cash. The Krugerrands usually get you through most places, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, Hanger Dogs, and you do want to do that. And also, I still also want to recommend Stefan Molyneux of Canada at freedomain.com. Okay, let me get to this New York Times. I thought this is from yesterday, May 6th, from Jennifer Steinhauer writes, and here's the headline. I love this on the New York Times. Statistics aside, many feel the pinch of daily costs. Mm-hmm. Okay, now here, so what
if you're not counting?
If you're not counting, in other words, all this stuff about the Dow Jones hitting a 7-year high, the fact that jobless is best in 20 years, the number of jobs created last month set records across the board. Housing starts, inflation, on and on and on. All those, throw those out the window. Here,
then, when you take a close look at what's left.
And, of course, they happen to use statistics to beat the band in their article. So
the other guy's statistics aside.
Yeah, right. We're going to show you our statistics about how bad things are. And one of the reasons I brought this up was because they're interviewing people down here in Florida, down in Brandon, right outside of Tampa. And they say national polls, of course, no statistics, national polls show a general satisfaction with the economy. However, the kitchen counter economy is an increasing source of everyday anxiety. What the hell is that? The kitchen counter. So in Brandon and other suburbs of Tampa, where gas prices are among the highest in the nation, it's funny you should say that because we just came back from down that neck earlier today.
Yep.
And the gas prices are about 30 cents different from the lowest to the highest. In other words, there's a 10% variation, roughly. Mm-hmm. They are still historically low worldwide by any worldwide standards. And by inflation, if you counter in the net value of the dollar, they're no higher than they have been 20 years ago, 25 years ago. They're about the same price as it was in 1980 in terms of what how long you have to work to earn a gallon of gasoline. So they're not that high, I mean, to speak of. But it's interesting that they go through and they CBS News poll, 74% disapproved of Bush's handling.
That's
of
not a statistic.
No, I know. That's not a statistic. And I love this. So they interviewed, this is the great thing, I love this. They interviewed Mrs. Tuttle, 51, and Mr. Toomey, who have a business down there. And they're in the, I forget exactly what the business is. It's rug cleaning or something, whatever it is. But they each bought smaller cars to save gas. Mm-hmm. Now, how bad is it?
We had to buy
two new cars, man. It's so bad.
Just to be able to afford some gas.
That's right. It's a total struggle. Oh, that's a vending machine business. And you would have to have your head in the sand to think things are going well in the United States. And I'm thinking, where have you been? I mean, it's life is so tough that you had to run out and buy a new car.
You know, luxury yacht sales were up 28.4% last year.
That's a statistic, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't try to
pull that
weasel in some statistics.
Yeah, don't try to weasel in. That's right.
Let's see some more of those bad statistics.
Yeah, they went and took an adjustable rate mortgage out on interest-only type thing, and their payments have gone from $100 to $219 a month. And I anticipated an increase, but not this much this quickly. I'm thinking, 219 is your mortgage? What? Whoa! What are you in the Dennis are you living under?
Right,
I mean,
right.
You couldn't get a mortgage on a cardboard box. You know, I'm sitting there, and so there's a second mortgage, whatever it is. Rising costs have contributed 38% increase nationally home foreclosures. That's not a statistic. And of course, 38%. Of course, this is where Mark Twain or somebody or Will Rott. Rogers said there's statistics. No, there's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics. They're the worst. And so when you talk about a 38% increase in foreclosures, that tells you nothing. What it means is if there were, in Florida, out of the kajillion homes here, if there were 9 foreclosures, and then this year's there's 12 or whatever, that's a 38% increase. And so what? You know, I mean, it doesn't tell you anything.
And how about they're probably counting the numbers, like you say, and 10 times as many people live here as did...
Well, exactly. I mean, the fact is that there are still, statistically, 348 families a day that move to Florida. So, anyway, they said nothing is a better predictor of foreclosures than high unemployment and credit card delinquencies. I mean, what is this? So they're going through all this stuff, one of the things that I do find out interesting about this is you people who write for newspapers know the way you write a newspaper article is you write the whole article, I don't know, 1,000 words, whatever it is, and the way they fit it in is they cut from the bottom. You put the most important paragraph first, second most, second, so forth. And that way, when they go to cut it, they can just slice off as much as they want on the bottom to make it fit. So I don't know how long this article originally was, but I do find out the next to last sentence here is, unfortunately, I don't have the last, I screwed up. The next last
they
sentence.
They cut that part off.
I cut it off, unfortunately. But I love one of the sentences near the end, they do say that if this is true in a place like Hillsborough County, which includes Tampa and most of its suburbs, where unemployment rate trails the national average, job growth remains strong, and business costs are among the lowest in the nation. Boy, that sucks, doesn't it? That really sucks. Now, Mr. Sharga, whoever, I forget who he is, people who are living beyond their means are going to have a harder time making ends meet than ever in history. No. Do we have a Homer for that? We've got to have a Simpsons.
Those young people are about to get a dose of reality.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. What are you, really? This is in this article, but I did notice, and I don't have it here, but the last sentence was they interviewed somebody, and he said, yeah, things are going pretty good for me. And then, again, I don't know how much more there was to the story.
Sentence after that was, most of the people we interviewed said things were fine.
Most everybody we interviewed said they were doing great. They were richer than ever before. But that was the part that got cut. But I still can't get over the headline of this is and where the entire story is destroys itself. It eats itself in the headline. Statistics.
It eats itself.
It does. It is. It goes around. It's like a snake that devours itself, starting from the tail. You know, statistics aside, many feel the pinch of daily costs, and here are the statistics to prove it. It is just to me. One of the things that I think about when I think about this is, of course, we're turning out a nation of illiterates. And what you can read, usually when anybody does bother to read, if they're not, you know, listening, watching VH1 or listening to MTV, they read the headline of a story. And then that's it. So this person would read this and say, boy, they'd get out of this. Many pinch of things must be tough because many feel the pinch of. And of course, the question I ask as an English type person is many. I mean, it could be a million. That's many, but that's like nothing. That's not even a rounding error in the population. Right. I mean, that's many, okay, but so what?
Many of the people I interviewed.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like that thing. I love that one. We've used this before, that quote of the lady in New York in one of the liberal East Side enclaves or whatever, rich limousine liberal lady, who could not understand why Bush had gotten any votes because none of her friends voted for Bush. I mean, how could he be elected? Nobody I know. And I'm thinking, yeah. It reminded me today when I was talking to that prosecutor. There are many pithy platitudes in life that actually mean something. If you lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas kind of thing. And you can, if you're a prosecutor, you start to think that there's a lot of bad, that most people are bad. Because those are the people that you deal with. Of course, I don't believe that at all. So it was interesting to hear. I'm not going to go into it, but it was interesting to hear her take on things. And I'm thinking, where is she coming from? And then, I don't know if you remember this, I didn't know what she did until three quarters of the way through lunch. And I said, well, what are you doing? And everybody says, she's a prosecutor. And then everybody at the table goes, they looked at me and they said, oh, now the cat's out of the bag. Oh, duh. We know where she's coming from on this. That was funny. Okay, anything else on that?
Nope.
Done. Okay, moving along. I did find are there any heavy notes that anybody cares about?
Well, two things we may want to touch on. First, the Duke rape case.
Oh, really? I have not been following that. Are they doing anything with that?
Well, it's still, you know, Nafong or whatever. He did win again. So
oh, right. So he kept his job, but they did say, and he said he moved up. He moved up the food chain, didn't he?
No, same job.
Kept his job.
Okay, now they did say, didn't they say previously that even if he lost, the prosecution would still go forward?
I would imagine that they would say that no matter what. They don't know how, though, unless the other prosecutor said that he was going to carry the case.
But forward. I mean, I read someplace where they seemed to think that this vote was not going to be a referendum on, voters should have any damn thing to say about whether anybody gets prosecuted or not. I mean, it's like here what we talked about earlier, where the voters that got thrown out, they were going to decide on whether what kind of a power plant we should build, like anybody here knows. And so
I want a nuclear one.
Yeah, nuclear one. That's right. But I'm saying that why would you consider that a referendum on whether the guy raped a girl or not or whatever, you know, who does?
Because it's in the news.
Because it's in the news. So anyway, the question there, Jack, is, so what do you think?
Number one, one of the main things that caught my eye was he said it would be, you know, months and months before he even brought it to trial.
Probably that's normal.
2007?
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, it depends.
Is the guy out?
The two guys.
Two guys, right.
I would imagine that they were able to bond out. The parents probably have some cash. They probably gave him a bond.
They go to Duke.
Yeah, they probably gave him a bond, and they're probably out.
Okay.
So I don't know that.
Back in class. Hi. Good to see you.
Can you imagine
that there's like no seats that are taken when they go into a classroom? There's this void area around them where nobody is sitting.
No, I think they have a lot of support actually on campus.
No, I know they do.
Yeah, I would bet.
This seems like a, you know.
Well, it does appear, at least from, again, can't read everything in the newspaper with statistics don't lie and all that.
Well, with the pictures, the time-stamped pictures, the pictures of the Reed kid at the ATM, he's got a pretty solid alibi.
But the other thing...
So she was confused, apparently...
Well, she was drunk.
About at least
she
one
was
of...
Drunk.
One
she was
of
in the car
three.
With Kennedy, and she got out. I don't know.
That's right. He was the bodyguard.
For I guess. I mean, right, bodyguard. Right?
There's a lot.
Get into my car. I'll drive you away.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Just don't go near water. That's no, right. The question I have is there was, of course, the newspapers came out, as the defense will always do. They're going to trash her totally, right?
Well, they already have.
But, I mean, they're going to, in courtroom, they're going to trash her. They're going to really trash her.
You would think.
There is a fine line that you have to walk with that. You don't want.
Is there?
Yeah.
Matlock, I mean, no, not Matlock, but one of those things.
Perry Mason.
No, Perry Mason, no, but on Boston Legal.
Judge Judy.
Which is exactly life. Life personified.
Yeah, it's real.
I mean, it was William Shatner Captain and James Kirk. Captain Kirk. I mean, how can you not believe Captain Kirk?
Well, that's true. It's hard to understand exactly, but I can tell you that situation.
So what is the fine line? I mean, they're going to bring
the
up
the fine line is you don't want to beat her up too bad if she comes across as sympathetic. You get your turn second. The prosecutor goes first.
Of course, she's a stripper, and of course the question.
Well, I think they'll beat her up pretty good.
The fact is she has made money as a stripper. No question about that.
Yeah.
Now you can bet that she's going to walk into court in a gingham dress with a high neckline.
Absolutely. Well, if she's smart.
Let's not forget,
this is now the second time in the last, 10 years that she's.
Yeah, but that won't be admissible unless.
That won't be the one.
Probably not.
They try and pull a trick to do that. You open the door, do you?
Right. And that's what they're going to try.
But both the prosecutor and.
That's got to be relevant. How could they not?
Bunch of stuff that you would definitely think is relevant these days, but that by law is excluded because they've deemed it to be irrelevant.
Right.
Like, for example, what the girl's wearing. Like, they won't find out that.
Really?
Yeah.
At the party?
You can't go in there.
They're not going to find out what the stripper wore.
It's hard to believe. That'll be an interesting thing.
She was wearing nothing.
The judge may order that there's no discussion about why she was there at the party.
You're kidding.
No. What her business is, all that stuff may be excluded. I don't know California or North Carolina law.
Well, let me tell you something else, though. Now, you got to believe, I don't care who you are, as you say, unless they get the jury pool from, I mean, backwoods.
Well, that's why the defense is publishing that stuff over the news right now.
If you get the jury pool from the people that are moonshiners from Deliverance,
right?
Then
hillbillies.
Yeah, I mean, really backwoods. You know, then exactly dueling banjos. I mean, if you get those people, that kid, for instance, and his inbred, you know, maybe. But other than that. There's going to be somebody on that jury that's going to know exactly what she did.
Well, that'll be part of the jury selection process, and that'll be the screening process.
Yeah, but I mean, so what you're going to get is...
Well, think about this.
You're going to get people that don't have a TV set in North Carolina that don't have a TV set and don't know how to read.
Right. And think about the jurors they got for, like, the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, they had to look for months and months to find 12 people who had never heard of O.J. Simpson.
And they
happened to all be black.
Well, 9 of them or something.
And then they let him off, right?
9 of them.
But, I mean, without a change of venue, at least, I mean, you'd think they'd have to move to South Dakota or something.
That's part of the defense strategy, potentially. I noticed that the defense was the one that published the fact that she had had this prior accusation.
Oh, duh.
Right. And so that's probably one of their tactics, to get the word out there, make it harder for them, for the state to get
poison the jury
pool
or whatever.
Exactly.
Right.
Mistrial,
fair. We've had our conversation about fair in the past.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about fair. The reality of fair. Yeah. That's a different show.
Yes.
So... Well, we'll follow
I think the guys will get off.
Get off.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you say, I'm sorry.
Apparently they didn't, so that might have been the problem.
There's the crime.
That's right.
You want to know the crime. Right, I mean, you're paying that kind of money, you better get off.
Well, there was apparently some argument about money or whatever. So
you think.
All right, so almost in the same vein, Anna Nicole.
It looks like she might get her bill.
That's right.
The Supreme Court sent it back, right? So she's gonna.
For our listeners who don't know,
right?
Just go ahead and turn off the podcast now.
You're not gonna get anything else.
I will say there might be our one from Riyadh.
I'm talking about
those guys. We'd have another Dubai strike too.
Yeah, Dubai, right? Yeah. Now you know, but you know that's That's one of our boys in soldierhood.
Right.
And then Nicole Smith. Well, Supreme Court, you never, you know.
Well, they all they did was send it back. You know, they said we're not taking.
They just basically said that her case could go forward.
Right, her case could go forward. Right, and so she.
She's still got to do the case.
Right, but you know that's So what do you think? She's going to get the dough, right? I what it gets me about
she's going to get something.
They were only married a year. Them.
So and
well,
married is married.
Yeah, but yeah. there is some attachment, accruement type of argument that you can make. And I mean, I think she'll get a bunch of dough. I mean, I'm surprised they challenged the 30 mil. They cut it down to her.
Yeah, really. I mean,
I guess she's the one that's challenging that. She wants for you know the 450 mil or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
half of 1.6.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, it is fascinating that you look at the greed thing. 30 million is not enough.
No.
How could you possibly?
Well, how can you get by on that?
On a mere 30.
Well, if you had to go through one court case and you get 10 times that much or 20 times that much.
Well, of course, is there a chance she'll get zero?
That's a good question. I don't know what's on the line.
I would guess that her attorneys have told her, you wonder, are they on a contingency basis?
For the big cash, I bet they'd do it for the big cash.
Yeah, and they're fighting tooth and nail on that. It'd be interesting. But it's the son, of course, who says she's not entitled to... I mean, and so he's fighting over $400 or $500 million. Not enough for him either.
Right.
You know, yeah, I mean,
gas is going up, man.
That's
$3
right.
A gallon.
Economy's bad.
The economy's bad, and I got to buy.
They only got $100 million.
Statistically, it's not bad.
The thing is,
how come my pay is so low?
So the deal is that they I guess they have to sell their Humvee and buy a Honda 4-cylinder, you know, Corolla or something.
Got to buy H2.
Yeah, H2, right?
Yeah. Drive it into the H2O if you're Kennedy.
Yeah, that's right. If you're Kennedy, right? That's right. that's right.
It's you know, all
that's
time.
That's what you. That's that ought to be maybe their campaign slogan. You know, you have H2O with a red circle around and a line through it. No H2O. Okay, we done with that?
Yeah.
Okay,
we just got to keep up on those legal.
I know we do. The other thing in the news, moving along here, has to do with Valerie Plame. You know, outed CIA agent who was a spy, apparently, over in North Africa or Sub-Sahara, wherever
North
it was.
North Africa.
But she came back and was a paper pusher at the Pentagon for a couple of years. And this is the Scooter Libby, you know, all this business.
A year ago, 8 months.
Yeah, a year ago. Yeah, anyway, right. She signed a book deal for $2.5 million. Which is nice. Now, you got to ask yourself, what is she going to write about? I mean, she's obviously going to say... Bad
here's
about
the
it.
Names of all
yeah,
the spies.
Yeah, here's the names of all the spies.
And their pictures.
That's right.
Yeah.
In this
their
book,
favorite hangouts and a picture.
Right. Well, I did notice that the
family photos.
Well, you know, did you see who the publisher was of the book? It's Al Jazeera. you didn't know that? Yeah, that's they're paying him $2.5 million.
Right.
Al Jazeera wants to see that book. Well, they want to see the draft before.
Right.
Before she actually
before
publishes.
Before she gets the actual money.
That's right. So anyway, that's I thought it was interesting that they're all the usual suspects, and Joseph Wilson obviously is going to stay married to her.
Well, why not?
Yeah, well,
get $2.5 million.
Yeah, right.
He's at least good for 1.25.
That's it. That's right. And she, as long as they cut the check, then she can get ill.
Right. Oh man,
that's awful.
I don't know. She just expired. She was so astounded by getting this check, she had a heart attack right on the spot. A non-detectable CIA special venom, whatever it is. You know,
well, she did drink orange.
Kanji Jello shot.
Yeah, that's it, right? from that octopus off of Australia.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's a box jelly off Australia.
Yeah, right. That's right. Oh, she went swimming, and then you just can't imagine. It just touched that. What did that noodly appendage just touched her, and she died. Fortunately, I kept the check on land because we didn't want it to get wet. We didn't want the signature to smudge
right,
off.
Right.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, it's all about the money. That's the truth.
Man.
Okay, the other thing that I've got...
By the way, if you're a Jimmy Doan fan and you want to will us some money...
Oh, yeah, no question. No, I have been... Of course, I love being in the inheritance business.
Right, right. You're a professional.
A professional, yeah. Right. I mean, I chose my ancestors wisely. And you can say what you want, but choosing your rich ancestors and rich...
That'll take you far.
Rich parents and grandparents, I tell you right now, that does well. Mm-hmm. And you just have to remember to send them the Groundhog Day card and, you know, hi, Grandma, how you doing? Really? No kidding. Ah, that's a shame. Anything I can do, you know, that's some hemlock. Anyway. No.
Come on, Grandma, let's play touch football.
Yeah,
in the
exactly
backyard.
Right. Yeah, you
go
need,
for the long one. Go.
Get that heart pumping.
That's right. Get that heart pumping here. And my friend here, Bob Kennedy, is going to give you a ride over to the other side of the Potomac. Yeah, he'll take you to your doctor. So anyway.
All right, what else we got?
Okay, the other thing I got is, again, it's about money. I really like this one. It doesn't mean much, but it's here's a plan in Boulder City, Nevada, could make millionaires of everybody. And the deal is, and this actually brings up several points.
I wonder if our Nevada listeners are from the city.
Yeah, I wonder if they know that. Right. Mm-hmm. We need to see if we got any. I don't know if we got any history.
So is this a legal way to make money?
Yes. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It says no showgirls, no neon, no blackjack or slots, and obviously
no hookers.
No fun. Right. But they still want the money. And it turns out that they've got the city of Boulder, if you want to call it that, owns, obviously, as so many, like here in Alachua County, they own a bunch of land. Well, it's interesting. This guy's come along and said, look, land prices have gone from $100,000, $150,000 up to $700,000 an acre. Let's sell it and divide the money among the residents of the city.
So now the city is a real estate developer.
Well, no, they don't want to develop it. They just sell it off
to a
developer.
They're a real estate investor.
They are an investor by default. They're a real estate liquidator. Liquidator, exactly.
Liquidator.
Well, the city says no, and of course, what the city, I love this part.
That's the people's land.
Well, yeah, but these are the people. They signed a petition to put it on the ballot. In other words, they're going to vote on it. Wow. I mean, if you can vote to raise taxes, you certainly can vote on it.
Wait, now, how many people in Boulder?
Not many.
What? There's half a million people in Boulder.
This is Boulder City.
Oh.
And it's this is not Boulder, Colorado. This is Boulder City, Nevada.
Nevada. The dust bowl, the wasteland.
So it's about 25. Desert. It's 25 miles outside
town
of Las Vegas.
15,000.
15,000. Oh. Number one, oh. And it is within hooker distance of.
Walk home at night distance.
Yeah, exactly. Walk home that night from, you know, good time, whatever. But they don't have any little bunny ranch or anywhere. I don't know.
Well, their land is probably like they said.
It's worth it because. Las Vegas, of course, one of the fastest growing cities in the nation, and it's expanding because it is.
Why? Because
it defines freedom. It defines urban sprawl.
Freedom.
But I mean, think about it. It's all flat land. It's not like they can't just do the same thing cookie cutter all day long. So anyway,
just got to keep piping in the water.
Right. Well, that's another problem that is not addressed in this article.
Right.
So anyway, they said what this guy says. El Dorado Valley, an expansive dry lake bed dotted with creosote bushes and so forth. It's worth 15 to 50 billion, the activists estimate. And they say, and they're right on this. That, they say, is too much dough and too much responsibility for a city council to handle.
So the small city of 15,000, they're going to sell it all. They're all going to buy mansions.
Right.
They're going to keep their 45-acre town.
They said, what I thought was interesting. Right?
They have a grandfathered end date, too, so you can't just move there. It's March 31st.
Right. March 31st, and of course the
that really suck if you'd have moved out like March 30th.
Well, you say that. And of course, that's one of the complaints that the city council, of course, they're saying the citizens, I love this part, the citizens don't own the land, the city does. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, whoa.
What the hell's a
city? What is that? You know, what's the city?
Well, this city piece of paper owns this piece of paper?
Yeah, well, the city is at the pleasure and perseverance. There's a word starts with P, and I forget what it was, but it is another
perversion.
Perversion, right, mm-hmm. Of Nevada that the city exists, and like the people have nothing to do with the city. The people who live in the city and are citizens, nothing. Sorry, you can't vote on this to give away your land or sell it, excuse me. And so they gathered enough signatures to put it on the petitions on the November ballot. And, of course, some of the people, that they resent the fact that his group is after a quick buck. And I'm thinking, they're not. I mean, you know, if anybody could sell your land, I mean, if you sell your land and make five times what it was worth a year ago, I don't see a problem with that. But it's so funny.
Maybe we should take it to the next level and have the government sell up all of its land and give us all a check.
Isn't that the truth?
Let's sell Yellowstone.
Well, what's funny about this, they liken this to some extent they liken it to Alaska. I don't, of course, Alaska is a state where every citizen of the state of Alaska gets a check for somewhere about $1,800 a year because of the profits from the oil pipeline. Then they get money. However, not enough for Ted Stevens, of right. course. What we were talking about this, they wanted to build the bridge to nowhere, and it got thrown out. And what they build the bridge to half the bridge to nowhere. It comes from somewhere, but doesn't go anywhere. I think it's anchored on one end now, right, or something right, like that. Right, it just right. kind of is, it's efficient. It's a $2 billion
fishing. You can walk
pier.
To the end.
You can walk to the end
and come back.
And got to come back, right?
If you're Evel Knievel, you can try and jump it.
Well, that's true. Right. That's right. The residency cutoff, right, they say, is arbitrary, unfair to longtime residents who may have moved recently. You know, you think about that. I mean, that actually brings up a lot of things. That happens in so many. So what?
Right.
I mean,
there's no way to. Yeah, you left, and
bye-bye.
There's no way to know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, that happens all the time. You think about it. It reminds me a little bit of several of the movies that came out about chaos theory and the little things in life that means something, that change the entire direction of all of mankind, little tiny things. And there's a couple of movies recently, or in the last 2 or 3 years, that have
explored. Like
Butterfly Effect. Butterfly Effect was one. And there's no way to, I mean, it could happen, it could go both ways.
Right.
There's no way to solve that.
I'm sure there was engines on there originally, too.
Yeah, well, of course, if they're not licensed voters.
They only moved 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, right. But I love this. The deed that's on file at the county recorder's office says that the city of Boulder City, not the people of Boulder City, own the land. I'm thinking, you talk about a difference without a distinction or whatever. God. Mm-hmm. And of course,
there's a city council member named Mike Pacini that's trying to fight it.
Well, I love this. It says
one out of 15 or something.
Cheryl Graff, of course,
because he's already got his $1 million.
That's right.
And he doesn't want the damn park land sold so the people build on him or turn them into parks or whatever.
Yeah. So, but it turns out there's a lot of land that apparently is protected by the state of Nevada that they can't do, and they're only going to get a check for $400,000 or $500,000. But I love this here. This is an opinion that's repeated by some other skeptical Boulder City residents. Quote, it seems like a pipe dream, says Cheryl Graff, Miss Boulder City 1980, as she sat outside the Boulder City Credit Union collecting donations for this year's pageant. Now, of course, she's smart. I trust the city council to make the right decisions. Now, is that that's the Homer one where he says,
the whole reason we have elected officials is so we don't have to think all the time.
That's exactly. So that is Miss Boulder City 1980.
Right. She knows what she's talking
about. She knows exactly. I mean, you know, you don't get to be Miss Boulder City without answering a tough question.
That's right.
I mean,
she's got to answer a series of tough questions front of a camera.
In front of a camera, and she's got to say things like, I'm for world peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, world peace. World peace. Right. So anyway, I think this is kind of funny because in a way, this actually brings up some kind of, you know, you're a legal person, you can tell us about this, brings up some points that are interesting. We have here in Alachua County, the Alachua County Forever Program, which takes tax dollars. We have a special...
Forever.
Forever, right. and it buys up the land that is considered to be in danger. And of course, there's a bunch of people here that consider all land endangered. My house, where Jimmy is endangered, and they want him, you know.
Well, it is. Somebody's going to live here.
That's right. And especially us, which makes it triple endangered. My neighbors, of course, are getting ready to sign a petition to make sure that it's.
You get eminent domained.
Yeah, imminent, I think, is probably the word rather than imminent.
Are they trying to move you out of the neighborhood?
They would like to. No. No, I'm the carbuncle of the neighborhood, that's for sure. No, it's not that. It's not that bad. I've done some nice things other than I got mugged once, but other than that, it's okay. Okay, so I'm done. Anything else in particular, you guys?
I got one thing here.
Okay.
I noticed that the FBI expanded they put a new guy on their top 10 most wanted list.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they had caught one of the other ones or what?
That's a good question. I don't know if they.
I mean, how would you feel if you were number 10 and you got demoted?
you'd immediately try to regain your ranking.
Oh, I mean, you'd want to shoot somebody right away. Right, you know, right. Kabango. Yeah, I mean, it's
so this guy
off your list.
So who's the new guy?
The new guy is the leader of the sect of the church, the Utah Church, the Mormons, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that continued polygamy after the 1890. Rescission.
Just couldn't give it up.
The renouncement of Yeah, exactly.
Spoiled.
And he's on the 10 most wanted?
Right, that's my thought. Is he, what, his big crime is he sleeps with a lot of women? I mean,
been there, done that.
He's the top 10?
Hey, Will Chamberlain.
You're next, buddy. I mean,
hey, how do you, if that's what it takes to make the top 10, I guess they're upset because they've never had a real foursome, or fivesome, or tensome.
That girl sleeps with everybody.
Exactly. So, that makes the 10 most. Well, boy, that's a sad.
That was the worst thing he did, really.
Well, I will say that I think he was convicted of like fooling around with a minor or something in Utah.
Oh, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, a minor infraction.
But it was no his 15-year-old wife or something.
Well, I mean, if he'd been in Tennessee, he'd been fine.
That's right.
I mean, 15-year wife all day long.
And here, it's life in prison.
15 is okay in Tennessee.
I think it is. Yeah,
it's 17 here in Florida.
No, well, with parental, I tell you, it's awfully young. Some states down here in the South, it's really young with full parental consent on both sides, like 12 or 13 or something. I think someplace.
15.
Is it 15?
You cannot, if you are a 15-year-old boy or girl and you kiss and fondle your 15-year-old boy or girlfriend, you're both sex offenders
forever.
Yeah.
What was the deal on if you take the polygraph test the rest of your life?
DNA.
Well, what does your mom and dad say? It's okay.
Register. No, can't do it. Register everywhere
they probably go in for being sex.
They go. Every time you move, you have to register your new address at the sheriff's office and probation and the driver's license bureau within 48 hours, or it's a new felony charge.
Felony charge.
Felony charge. And I've seen people go to prison for those felony charges for moving, just for moving. Guy didn't do anything. He just moved. And it took him a few days to tell
him. He didn't do anything the second time.
Right. Well, no, but the first time it was his 15-year-old girlfriend. You know, this is the guy. Right. You know, I mean, okay.
How old was he?
He was 17 or 18 at the time. He was 18. He was 18.
Right. And so he's, of course, that goes with you for life. Good luck on getting
a job. Well, even if you're a juvenile, I'm pretty sure in the state of Florida that it still continues on past your 21st birthday.
Really? In other words, like you say, two 14-year-olds get it on, and what happens?
They're done, man. You register everywhere you move for the rest of your life. Pictures up in the Publix.
Oh, that's right. Your pictures are up. That's right. Your pictures.
On the internet.
On the internet. Well, I know.
When you're 16 and you're still in high school, at your new high school, because your parents moved, your picture's on the internet. I mean,
that's right. Hey, Robbie, I saw you in the supermarket the other day.
Of course, you can't go to schools around here like in the state of Florida, in most county schools, which is most of them,
right?
If you have a bad felony conviction, they kick you out. In fact, I think it's any felony conviction now.
Really?
Yeah.
So the question is, I mean, here you are, you're 15 years old, convicted of a felony, and that means you can't, which is okay. I mean, I think the school system's so polluted anyway, and we were going to talk about that, but I don't think we have time today. A lot of the sex offenders are not allowed to associate with children. So here you are, 15 years old, means you can't sit in the classroom, obviously, because you're associating.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, so that's why you're out.
How about if you have a brother or sister that's younger?
Then what?
Can't live in the same house.
You're kidding.
No.
No way.
A lot of
No chance.
Yep.
No chance. I don't believe that.
Hey, and then there's Jimmy Rice. People don't even know about Jimmy Rice. I continue to say about it.
He's a big football star.
That's Jerry Rice. Right.
Way to go. Thanks, Eric.
Jimmy Rice law basically says, and this is true, okay? I'm not making this up.
Yeah, Jimmy Rice, nine-year-old Jimmy Rice.
Yeah.
Kidnapped and murdered September 11th, 1995.
Exactly. And because of that...
Look at that research right there. All Jack Rhodes hot on the internet, man. Wow.
They passed a law saying...
They have that stuff on the internet now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you
have internet on computers.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now.
Go ahead.
They passed a law saying that if you are involved in any sort of crime that has the word sex even mentioned in it, even if you're not convicted of it, okay, even if you're exonerated completely, if you are later in jail for any purpose at all, you're in jail for a traffic time for 60 days, and if Tallahassee gets wind of it, that's our state capital, they can send a team of three psychologists to come evaluate you. And if the team
deems
that you are likely to reoffend, they send you to one of two virtually prison facilities in the state of Florida, which you cannot leave. It's a prison.
Like up there in Quincy or someplace, or Chattahoochee or someplace like that, maybe?
No, that's the insane asylum. That's for the...
Okay,
Well, there's another one besides that.
That's an insane asylum. It's asylum, but for...
Right.
for
sex offenders.
Sex offenders. Okay.
Right. So we have two of those with about 3,000 people in them in the state of Florida.
Oh my God. Well, I tell you,
and they can keep you for life. So no trial, no jury, no second conviction, nothing. You were exonerated the first time. You didn't even get convicted, and this team says you're likely to reoffend. You go to prison for life.
It sounds
very unconstitutional, doesn't it?
It sounds unfair.
It sounds pretty unconstitutional.
Especially if it's you they're coming after.
But it was penned by Thomas Jefferson, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's you know,
he
that's,
authored that one,
no,
right?
No, yeah, that's in that's. God, that's Amendment Number 21. I'm sure it's in the Constitution. I'm sure that's in it. I'm confident of that's perfectly legal. Makes sense to me.
Right, absolutely.
Ain't no problem.
They were thinking about trying to do it on a national level as well.
No doubt. Well, I mean, again, all power continues to accrete to the government, and recently it's an accelerating rate, which reminds me, Chris, don't forget to keep looking for that house. And there, don't forget it. It doesn't have to be on your island. It can be, you know, neighboring island is okay. Right.
Councilor Curtis has said before, any law that is named after someone,
if it's named after a little boy or a little girl.
Little girl, right. Amber, Ryan, Jimmy.
You're in trouble. That's right. Well, it's what we, you know, this is a corollary and a spinoff of what I call the little girl in the mine shaft.
Yeah. This is exactly the little girl in the mine shaft.
I mean,
explain that one.
Well, the little girl in the mine shaft is that the little girl falls down the mine shaft. And
Jessica, baby Jessica.
Yeah. And of course, they're trying to rescue her for. I don't know how many days, I mean, she gets as much press as that cat that was in the wall, you know, a month ago. Anyway, I'm surprised they didn't pass a law against cats in walls on that.
Or
for that
walls.
One.
Anyways,
yeah, or right. Walls, right, exactly. And so the press comes out there, and they do all things. Finally, they rescue her, and they say, oh, my God, we're never going to let this tragedy again. So they close all the mine shafts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is.
Genius idea.
Genius idea. No, I mean, they do this.
That'll
save them, right. They do this
for
kind
the kids.
It's for the children. No, everything's for the children. Doesn't matter. I mean, never mind. It is amazing to me how perspective goes out the window when you realize
Jessica Lunsford law.
Yeah. I mean, right. Oh, death. I mean, it's
death.
They don't realize the backlash.
One law that always gets passed is the law of unintended consequences. And like you say, as you say, here's a person that is innocent of everything, totally innocent. And for some reason, you know, didn't pay 47 parking tickets or whatever it is, and is committed for life.
Right.
It could in fact be, other than the fact that he parks without paying his 25 cents, is a legitimate citizen. And no, I'm sorry, with you and I and everybody else, $30,000 a year.
Right.
Get to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Guard to relieve.
Guard to relieve.
That's right. So I did want to. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did want to say buenos tardes, buenos amigos, amigas en español, en España y Centroamérica. Los países en Centroamérica, sí.
Hiroshimase.
Oh, that's right. Japanese. That's right.
We have some Japanese people.
Yeah, we're about done though, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a good show.
Well, hold on, I mean.
Oh, wait. Engineer. The engineer has got something.
He's pulling something.
Uh-oh, look out.
I don't know.
Don't put your MP3 on pause yet. Or you can put it on pause, but.
I mean, I got just a couple things. Okay. Did you see this? I mean, you've been to Italy, right?
Yep.
Jimmy?
Yep.
This guy, the Rome tourist, was charged $1,200 for one beer.
I've seen that sort of thing, but he was like somebody didn't speak any Italian.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's fairly normal in a place like that.
Wait, was that a bottle of champagne or something?
No, what happened was the guy, I've seen this
they
happen.
They normally sell for 10 euros. This guy's charged him 990 euros.
And that's because the guy was an idiot and didn't understand the exchange rate. It was from Japan or something like that, and they said, that'll be 1,000 euros, and he dutifully, because he had all this cash, he dutifully counted it. I have seen this happen. I'll never forget.
No, he charged it, but still.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so the point is that there's two ways this happens. One is if you go down the Reeperbahn in Hamburg, mm-hmm. where all the hookers hang out. If you go in any of those bars,
you've never been there.
I heard about this actually one time.
you heard about it one time?
Yeah, I heard about it once. I heard about
for
it.
About 15,
wait a second!
20 minutes.
I don't recall it all. that Ambien and Fenugreek, you know, mixture.
So anyway, you go in there and it says, you know, beer one mark. But if the girl sits down with you, it's like $200.
Right.
And that's. It turns out
you buy her drink for
$100. Her drink for like $200. And it turns out that, that on occasion, if that happens to somebody, I'm going to give you some advice. Run. because they will not come after you past the door. And I heard.
Apparently, like, these, you know, I guess the...
But let me finish. Let
go
me
ahead.
Finish.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, I remember when I was in France one time, and this happens a lot. I saw a guy, and this is where the ugly American comes from. I saw a guy buying a newspaper. It was like, you know, 15, 20 cents or 30 cents, whatever newspapers were, you know, El Figaro, Le Figaro, whatever it was. And he holds out and asks the vendor to take what was necessary because he'd not bothered to learn the money. And he was holding out like $100 in French money. Well,
that's not quite enough there.
Yeah, right. No,
thanks to the tip.
Yeah, you have some more. Yeah, right. No, no. But I mean, I of course, being the genial soul that I was, I stepped in
and took half
for a small
and said, "Let me show you how much that is," and cleaned off his palm. And
I'll cover the other.
I said, "I said you're a genius. You can't imagine how you got the exact
amount of
exact amount with the, as precise. Well, I don't know how you did it. It's just the precisely correct.
Exactly those five big bills.
That's right. That's exactly right. Those. And you go on over there, and I'll take care of your gentleman here, friend. That's right. That was so a free trip to Paris. That time. I ate
on
well.
The Concorde.
I ate well. That's right. I ate well.
So anyway, but apparently, I guess some the worst tales I think are from the taxi drivers who can charge hundreds of euros from trips to the airport, and then dump those who refuse to pay by the side of the motorway.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? That
well, I wonder.
There?
No. I always make sure. That's one of the reasons I'm learning Espanol. I always like to learn just. I found out. I always like to learn enough of the language to get by. And I found out that there are exactly 104 words that you
for
need.
Hooker.
Well, no, actually, believe it or not, that's sign language. Yeah, I realize that there's a lot of escort phone dialing, but you don't do that. No, and in foreign countries, it's sign language. Trust me on this. Okay. You know why they call them hookers, right?
No.
You didn't know that?
I don't think so.
Okay, the reason you call it hookers is because when you call them, you do this.
It looks
like a hook. You know, I'm wiggling my finger like come here.
Right.
And that
right.
looks like a hook, so that's why I call them hookers. So anyway, the a little tidbit from information from
look
the...
Look at that!
Oh, my God.
It's worldly
now, when
knowledge,
that shows up on Jeopardy, send money. Make sure that when you... If you win on Jeopardy with that question...
Yeah, like... And they're going to have a hooker category.
Yeah, that's right. I'll take 200
ladies of the
hookers.
Night for 250.
Who is Jimmy Doan?
That's right.
I'll take hookers for 500 bucks.
That's right. So anyway,
okay.
The deal is that what were we talking about?
I don't know.
Before hookers.
It's amazing how your brain just clears right out.
It's like running down that auto piste in Italy. You know? No, what I don't understand is how the guy tells them how much it's going to cost on the way. Normally, a cab driver, you either negotiate ahead of time. Anyway, I'm telling you 103 words you need to know. So I'm talking at two things at the same time here, okay?
Okay, yeah,
what is
we'll pan this in stereo.
Yeah, right, okay, right here. In your left ear. I don't understand how you run down the auto piece. You say, hey, Major, hey, it's going to cost you $200. You say, no. I mean, you wait till you get to the destination or whatever. Okay, I don't understand.
You just jump out and run.
Well, that's right. So the other thing is, I forgot again, where was I?
You're talking about... Jesus damn hookers. It was this, you were talking about that?
Oh, 103 words.
103 words.
103 words. Turns out there's 104. And when I got to Spain, the 104th word was the word for word.
What is the
for? I put it in a dictionary. But as I would go into every country, I would learn these 103 words. And it's stuff like what is, how much. I mean, it's the stuff you'd figure. That you could use. And it was funny because I went into London and I tell you, the 103 words in London were tough.
It's like a totally different language.
He's like, as I say, why did I have to learn English? Because I never going to England. I mean, that's what Homer says.
I love the Homer when he goes, Marge, I need you to listen to me very carefully. I need you to pull the thing next to the thing.
We need to get some more of those up there if we can pull them out right.
I've got a whole bunch of them. I haven't labeled them.
Well, I put them on here, too, and for some reason it didn't come up again. I don't know. On my computer.
All right, what else you got there?
Yeah, what else?
I mean, we can, of course, hack these out if they suck for any reason. But did you see this little 4-year-old boy ran 40 miles in India?
What?
Yeah, 4-year-old boy.
Amazing what you do.
He's dubbed India's Forrest Gump.
That's such a great title.
He was nearly sold by his impoverished mother. Ran 40 miles Tuesday to enter the country's foremost record book. So apparently, kid can run.
Do you get paid for that?
No, but I think he ended up selling his mother to
the
government.
Oh, see, right. Okay, yeah. Well, Phil, 4 years old, she was probably, what, 20, 21, 22? She'd probably a fox.
She might be. Well, in the yeah, it could be.
Go for it. Okay.
No, finally, one more thing. Just that grandma drops baby off at a wrong address. It started off as a possible child abandonment case, but it turned out to be a misunderstanding. Police received a call from a woman who said another woman said she didn't know who drove up to her home, handed her a baby boy in a diaper bag, and left. It turns out the woman's was the baby's grandmother and thought she was dropping the baby off at a daycare, but she had the wrong address. And the infant was placed in foster care for a little bit. Can you imagine? I mean, wouldn't you ask a question?
Again, did they give the lady's name or nationality?
No, they didn't.
Okay,
nine.
Unknown. Well, I mean, because there are obviously some extenuating circumstances. You know, it's a slow news day.
Pretty slow.
Slow news day when you got to have the bottom story like that. I did have to.
Did you know they have baby crying contests in Japan?
Oh, Jesus. Well, they got, you know, let me tell you, Japan, they have contests.
Hey, ease up with my Japanese buddies there.
I mean, so, come on over for you, Jimmy.
That's right. Think about something. Sumo wrestling is the high point, and it got, when they have those
very
things.
Very honorable sport.
Very honorable.
But how long can you not pee, you know, or something like that?
Well, this is coming from a country with a pig calling contest, too. So.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, no, let me tell you. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Spitting contest.
No,
watermelon seed.
I mean, no, they got. I mean, around here. Oh no, it is dueling banjos. I mean, you know.
I may have to put this one up of this guy in German. They had a German beard championship in Hessel, Germany.
Oh my God, to see that picture.
Yeah, this guy got.
It looks like one of the gondola with a thing on the back.
It's a windmill on one side.
Yeah, Cleopatra's barge or something.
His beard is like a couple feet long.
And his hair sculpted
all into this big scene. Anyway, I may have to put a link to that. But he got second place.
I want to see who got first.
Right. And
I mean, who's on first? I mean, just
I think his category was full beard freestyle.
Yeah, of course. You wonder what some of the other categories were. You know, half beard. What's the compulsory look like? I mean, I wonder. You know, have a trimming contest or say how fast can you? I mean, what do you race to the? I don't know, you know, how much can you put? How many birds can you put in your beard? Or something? I mean,
I guarantee somebody had the nest.
A bunch
of eggs.
That'd be
pretty funny.
All right,
that's great. Thank you all. Listen, and don't forget, if you have anything to say to us, don't. No. That's Jimmy at JimmyDone.com. We really appreciate it. And hello, don't forget Tanger Dogs. And don't forget.
They just put our new podcast up today.
Well, that's, of course, when this gets posted, it'll be like yesterday or the day before. Or something.
They won't know.
That's right. Because they've never gone on iTunes.
Yeah.
Have they?
Who?
Have Tanger Dogs.
Yeah, they're on iTunes.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
I did not.
And that's the thing that they keep saying from their server, they don't get any hits from iTunes. That's why they think that somehow they're maybe uploading their podcast to iTunes. But, you know, like we said, there might be billions of them. But we never get any iTunes hits on our servers either.
No, we get other.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's great. Anyway, thank you, Jack.
Hey,
appreciate
always,
it.
Always a good time.
Engineer.
Always.
Eric. And we'll be back shortly, hopefully in about 3 or 4 days after you listen to this one.
Uh-huh.
Another thrilling moment. And say, send Jimmy at JimmyDone.com if you have a suggestion. And we're still
signing
working
for our
on.
Mailing list.
The mailing list. We've got a bunch of people signing up for the mailing.
We didn't get the teen screen either.
Teen screen. We didn't get the teen screen. I want to do that.
We'll get
and
to
we
you.
We also forgot. Oh, my God. The big news was the nationalization. I want to talk about the nationalization of the oil and gas.
No.
But I have more. I have so much more.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
Oh, my God. No, you cannot imagine what I had on that. No. Oh, my God.
All right. Start over.
See ya. Bye-bye.
The Jimmy Dome Show is recorded without a live audience.
workout fly by listening to The Jimmy Doan Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jimmy Doan Show. Be sure to mention The Jimmy Doan Show at your next local libertarian meeting.
I said, whoops, there it is.